This is special programming on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. Tonight, we'll look at resources for parents staying home with kids now that most schools around the state have shut their doors. We'll talk to trauma experts about how to take care of your mental health during this challenging time, and we'll talk to a reporter from the Reading Record Searchlight about how businesses there are dealing with closures aimed at helping stop the spread of the virus. We want to hear your questions and comments. Leave them on our website, mynspr.org. For Tuesday, March 17th, 2020, this is special coverage on the coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I guess I should acknowledge that it is St. Patrick's Day, although for me, it sure does not feel like it. The few coworkers I've been around today are not wearing green. The bars and restaurants around Chico are closed and are not serving their usual traditional fare. And my mind is occupied. What's the latest development with COVID-19? We know it's on your mind, too, and likely all you've been hearing about on the news. That's why today, although there is much news out there, we are first going to focus on taking care of yourself and others. For many parents in the North State, it's day two of staying home with kids who are no longer attending in-person classes. To get a few tips about how you can help engage your kids while they're locked up at home, I spoke with Erin Kennedy. She's a case manager with the Boys and Girls Clubs of the North Valley that provides activities and programs for youth in several counties in the region. Kennedy says her organization recently made the hard decision to close all their sites until schools are back in session. So she's been at home with her kids, and she's been reminding herself she actually does this with them every year.
I know a lot of people are kind of like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with my kids for, 2 weeks, possibly a month? And we just have to remember, school goes out of session for 8 weeks in the summertime and we figure it out. So the most important thing is to remain calm and to maybe fall back on some of those plans that you typically do in the summertime. Maybe you won't be traveling, but maybe you'll be spending a lot of family time cooking or playing board games or just getting creative and doing some crafts. I know for a lot of families, they rely on school and after school care services in order to do their jobs. But for those parents who are going to have to work remotely, like myself, I always try to plan some things for my kids to do while I'm answering emails or hopping on a training course online. If that means giving them, some electronic time, I know that, electronics can be both a yay and a nay in the parenting world, but there's lots of great online resources for kids right now. One of my coworkers told me about artforkidshub.com, and it's actually a video where you can follow along and learn how to draw all sorts of really fun cartoon characters, leprechauns. And another one that I love is there's lots of virtual field trips out there. For instance, the San Diego Zoo has a virtual field trip and you can actually see baby animals and you can see live cameras of them. So, kids always love that. You can even go to Discovery and there's an education link. And you can click around on that website and they give you all sorts of virtual tours and lots of fun things to do.
Yeah, and I'm seeing if you need internet for your child, you also said that Comcast and many others are offering free internet.
Yeah. And I actually have that number here. It's 844-488-8395. And it sounds like they're offering free internet for those impacted by the coronavirus and school cancellations. And so I'm not quite sure what the process is to sign up, but it's worth a phone call, right?
Yeah, definitely. The other thing is just, I was going to ask you, because you are a parent, I mean, how do you keep yourself sane?
Yeah, I think that as parents who've grown up in an age where we are raising children who are entertained all the time, we also have to remember it's okay for them to be bored. If I can push through the 20 minutes of my kids complaining that they're bored, suddenly they find something to do and they get really creative. And that's really when the magic happens. Kids start to play make-believe or have characters, or they get dressed up, or they build a fort. And I think that parents need to just kind of like give themselves the permission to let their children be bored once in a while. And the other thing is that we have to remember that our kids are going to remember how mommy and daddy either acted or overreacted during this time. And so I think the most important thing is just to remind our kids that, like, hey, we get an extra week of spring break. We're going to have a great time. You know, sometimes I'm going to have to work, so maybe you guys could get some reading minutes in, but we'll be a team during this time.
Yeah, try to take something that may seem very scary, and I know a lot of people, you know, are in fear right now, and turn it into something that could be very positive.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, more time with my kids is always a bonus to me.
That was Erin Kennedy, case manager with the Boys and Girls Clubs of the North Valley. There's no doubt that this pandemic has caused anxiety and significant changes to our daily life. But it is possible to ease some of those feelings of apprehension and frustration. I spoke earlier with Dr. Joyce Michael Flynn. She's a professor at Sacramento State School of Nursing and researches survivorship, resilience, and post-traumatic growth. The first thing I asked was, what can we do in the now to take care of our mental health?
The things that you can do now, it's really interesting as you look at trauma as a system. You know, there are stages we go through with that. And so right now we are in the now phase. And there are definitely, you want to see what you can maximize and what can you can do through each of those stages. So I think the most important thing at the now phase is to always focus on what it is that you do have control over and what it is you can do. One of the things I like to tell people is, even if you're at home, to your best ability, try and keep a schedule going. Get up. If you have the ability to get outside and walk or do any kind of exercise, do that. You know, take a shower, get your bed made. I mean, get things going, get things into a system and a schedule. That will be very helpful for you to gain some control over what seems to be an uncontrollable situation. The other thing that is very, very helpful is making sure you stay connected. As we are being told to be indoors for the good of the whole community, which makes sense because we want to flatten that line, still we have these wonderful ways of staying connected. So Zoom people or FaceTime people or pick up the phone and call people and have some conversations that will obviously, they will go to what COVID-19 is about, but stay away from just talking about that. Talk about other things. How are family members doing? Have you watched a good movie? Are you reading a good book? Something like that, that can be helpful with that as well. And we do want to monitor our screen time just in general. But especially during this time, please find a resource, a news resource that you feel comfortable with and trust. But limit and monitor the time that you spend viewing that. If there's something that's going to come up and about, you're going to hear about it. But for the most part, you don't need to be monitoring the situation 24/7. Just know that the people who are in charge have to look at worst case scenarios, but also remember that that's usually not going to, for the most part, happen. So those are just some ideas.
And do you know at all about mental health and physical health? I mean, how are those things connected?
Oh, that is a great question. So yes, mental health, especially during this time, is key. If you can, I would suggest get out of doors for a little bit. Do something if you can outside for even a little bit. The other thing too is nutrition is important. So make sure you keep on a good nutritious pattern. The other thing too is sleep. Sometimes when we're at home, our sleep cycles can be off. You know, we kind of get used to having activities and we do those activities and then we sleep during certain times. Make sure you adjust and adapt to a good sleep pattern, because getting appropriate sleep will be helpful as well. Also, one of the things I talk about, and people who do well after traumatic events, I see three things. They definitely have this sense of hope and optimism. So we're not looking at foolish optimism. You have to deal with reality, but you do want to be around people and surround yourself with people, activities, and things like that, that will build up your optimism and your mental strength. And so that's really an important thing, I think, that is helpful in terms of your mental health. If you have some time, is there a book you wanted to read that can maybe make you feel a little bit better and encourage your mental health? Is there a movie you want to watch? Is there something like that you want to do that can structure your mindset into a more healthy, productive, optimistic manner?
That was Dr. Joyce Michael Flynn. She's a professor at Sacramento State School of Nursing. You can learn more about her research and podcast on survivorship, resilience, and post-traumatic growth at metahab.com. Focus on what you can do. That's the advice we just heard from Dr. Michael Flynn. And if there's one person who seems to have always lived by that, it's Jessie Mercer. You might have heard of her from her Key Phoenix project after the campfire, or maybe from Butte County Art on Wheels, where she's been using her creativity to help kids and staff at affected schools get back to baseline after the fire. Well, now she's going virtual with that project, taking her love of art and her community to the web.
Due to the recent changes, as we are not able to embrace being on campus, the creative outlet that I used over the weekend was launching what I call You Matter Bags. And I, at this time, have enough supplies and help to create 1,000 bags for kids that were affected by the campfire to follow the scope of my kind of in my first project there. And what we're going to do is we're going to get a bag. We're going to write You Matter on the front. It's loaded with 6 different activities that are art and physical related to benefit mental health and social stability. And kiddos once a week are going to be able to jump online with me through Butte County Art on Wheels. And I'm actually going to do that 1 of 6 every week activity with them alongside so that I can still have that togetherness, which for me, I think is the most essential piece of anything moving forward through any type of recovery or any type of trauma, especially at the first step, which is being proactive and not as reactive and providing as many resources for people and young people to have while they are isolated with their families and in their homes that are healthy and hopefully bonding as well. And kind of bringing that educational piece that we don't always talk about at schools, which is socialization, and increasing that during a time where that may be limited outside of our control, and just trying to keep connected with our kids.
Yeah, and the other piece is mental health, right? I mean, art is a huge piece of that. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, anybody knows me around here knows that I'm pretty passionate about the thought that art saves lives, just as much as I'm passionate that the radio saves lives. I just truly believe that when people are given the ability to create, may it be music, may it be art, visual art, dancing, meditation, whatever it is, it's self-expression, I feel falls under the category of art. And if I can give people that safe outlet that they can also connect with me and see my face and I can see their comments and I can respond to the needs that are coming, it feels so evolutionary. It feels like something that I can keep elastic, kind of bending and pulling back as people are expressing what their mental health needs. And maybe the projects aren't going to be successful, and that's great, but maybe we create art journals, and that's what people are going to be using during this time. I don't really have a goal as much as I have the want to help. And I think that just extending any type of communication, especially with art, and letting kids show me through pictures online or however they're going to do it, is the way that I can still stay connected to them. And then when we come back, we have something positive to talk about. Wow, that was really great that we got to kind of still stay connected. And this is a great resource for mental health for parents. I don't want parents out there right now feeling like they are alone in any way, shape, or form, not just with Butte County Art on Wheels, but with anybody. There's so many resources. I'm also going to jump on and just do kind of self-care and self-tips and check-ins and let people know the silly little things that you can create around your house that will distract you from that boredom and sense of anxiety.
Where can people connect with the bags, you know, if they want to?
Yeah. So right now, since I just launched it, obviously with some of the change of weather is going on right now, is Butte County Art on Wheels on Facebook, through the Chico Arts Center as well on their website. You can find more information about Butte County Art on Wheels. I'm going to be doing quite a few launches about information moving forward. The supplies are on their way. The bags are on their way. I have a beautiful army of empathetic people that are going to help me put these together with definitely health-mindedness and sanitary reasons going forward, so that when I do hand you your bag, you know it's safe, and that you know it's for the benefit of you and your child. It's a whole package. And then as soon as I get those bags out, I will start launching my twice a week fun interactive videos. And I really just want to encourage everyone to join me on this journey, because I don't want to feel like I'm alone in my house when I know that I'm not alone in my community.
That was Jessie Mercer, the founder of Butte County Art on Wheels, talking about her new project of creating You Matter bags for kids in her community. You're listening to special coverage about the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. Before we take a break, let us know what you're doing to take care of yourself or to help others in our community on our website, mynspr.org. We can all learn from each other, and we'd love to hear from you. Stay tuned. More just ahead. This is special coverage about the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. More and more businesses, bars, restaurants, and movie theaters are closing daily to heed official warnings and restrictions and help keep us all safe. Today, NSPR's Ken Duvall spoke with Reading Record Searchlight business editor David Benda to learn more about how businesses in that city are reacting.
Everyone's kind of scrambling right now. Some of them are going to follow those recommendations. Two restaurants I talked to have already closed, one of which is going to be doing to-go and online orders. But some restaurants have remained open. I called a bar in downtown Reading today, and then they mentioned that, you know, St. Patrick's Day is our busiest day. They could probably comment more tomorrow. So, and I know of another restaurant in Reading that's planning a St. Patrick's Day get-together, and they, at this moment, plan to carry on with that. So it's kind of a mixed bag right now. I can appreciate it probably caught some restaurants and other businesses a little flat-footed, and they're trying to figure out, what to do. This afternoon, it sounds like Wind River Casino is closing. Because of this. So, and then another thing we found out, and this is huge for Reading. We host one of the largest car shows in the West. It's called Cool April Nights, mm-hmm. and it was scheduled for late April. They announced this afternoon that they are canceling and they will pick the event up next year. Again, this is a huge economic engine for Shasta County. Hotels are filled up from like here practically to Red Bluff. Thousands of people come, thousands of cars. So that's going to be big economic hit for this area. In calling off all these events shows, the organizers are quick to point out that, you know, the health of the community is what's important here.
What kind of feedback are you getting about how well businesses, especially small businesses, are weathering all this?
So it's just anecdotal, obviously, at this point. I can tell you I talked to a gentleman who operates the local small business development center here, and it works with the sort of act as a conduit for these SBA loans that are coming down the pike for a disaster relief. And he told me, I talked to him yesterday, Monday, and he said his, you know, he was on the phone nonstop Monday morning with restaurants and small businesses asking about the accessibility of funds at this point. So that tells you that small businesses are obviously really concerned about the short-term and long-term impact.
If you had to describe, just in general, how severe the impact has been on Reading business thus far, how might you do that?
It's tough to say at this point. I could tell you that this thing is just kind of unfolding. I mean, you look at some of the big, you know, the Costco's and some of the big supermarkets, and their, you know, their store shelves have just been cleared of items, which is that's something that's playing out in every community right now.
Right.
So they're getting a lot of business because of this.
Yeah, we're having the same experience here, and I know especially the big box stores are having a heck of a time restocking. They're doing their best, and every day they're bringing in new stock, but it seems to move as quickly as it comes in. David, I don't know if you share this this sense, but I have a sense that until we start seeing in a particular area a real uptick in people who've been diagnosed, that we may not see some of these businesses change their practices.
That could very well be. And I know Shasta County Public Health and other health officials had a press conference this morning, and I asked them, given the governor's recommendations, it's not a mandate yet, but if it does become one, who would enforce that and how would it be enforced? And they didn't really answer that question, but they did reiterate that, you know, people up here need to understand what's happening up here is far different than what's happening in the Bay Area, where they basically shut down six counties yesterday because of the community spread. The local health officials up here reiterated that there's only been one confirmed case. There's no community spread. So at this point, it's up to the businesses to sort of, make that decision, what's best for them at this point.
That was David Benda, business editor for the Reading Record Searchlight. How widespread and how severe the infection ultimately gets remains speculation. As hard as that is for public health authorities to plan for, the uncertainty has pushed commerce off a cliff. After a decade of economic growth, empty streets, shuttered shops, and swooning share prices suggest a downturn is building. For some insights into the potential economic repercussions for the North State, NSPR's Mark Albert spoke to Dr. Robert Eiler, professor of economics at Sonoma State University. He began their conversation by asking how the Wall Street sell-off impacts the actual economy.
Dr. Eiler, markets and business love stability. There's been a lack of that recently, causing wild gyrations in top-line numbers from Wall Street. Why is that important for people in the real economy?
Important to the real economy for two major reasons. One is that when equity markets fade in terms of value, some businesses are going to stop expansion planning because they don't see the equity markets providing them with financing. They're going to be concerned in general about the economy taking a turn on the demand side, which I'll come back to in a minute. And that can slow down hiring, which can slow down growth of wages and also growth of jobs for people across the board. On the consumer side, if we lose wealth in our portfolios, we may have what's called a wealth effect in economics that will keep people from consuming things otherwise would have consumed but for the change in equity markets. So when those top-line indices move around, both businesses and consumers think about their spending at the same time.
Now, if you're a manufacturer and have a lot of workers out sick, or if you've been told to put operations on hold, or if you're a business and see a dramatic drop in foot traffic, what's the impact there?
The impact can be small if the timeline on that's small. It can also be small if what you lose from the outside is gained from the inside and kind of a dubious rearrangement of consumption. For example, you're going to go to the grocery store now more because you're not going out to restaurants because they're closed. So you can see some internal shifts in the economy, but generally speaking, when these things happen, you're going to see some contraction in spending, which is, again, maybe, depending on the length of time, going to start to move into labor markets. And it's the labor market movement that economists are most worried about.
And that's when people are laid off and they go on disability. They have their income halved and they're going to have trouble paying bills.
Correct. And the good part of it, at least in theory, is as people are either laid off, furloughed, or some combination such that they're able to take on unemployment insurance, or they may be paid in a very short amount of time for not working simply to retain those workers under the assumption we'll turn the corner and things will get slowly back to normal and you don't want to go out on this huge search as a business. That might stem the tide on the consumption piece, but to what you just said, if that unemployment insurance is only half or 60% of what I was making or potentially could make, it definitely is going to change what I'm consuming on the other side.
Our local shopkeepers and people who are forced into the so-called gig economy, they're going to be hurting and they don't have much of a backstop.
Agreed. It's small businesses, including those in the gig economy, which are kind of, you know, microcosms of small business that are probably most on the edge in terms of this episode. But all small businesses are probably going to have to watch their business continuity plans if they have one, or think about what business continuity looks like over the next 4 to 8 weeks, with the idea that this is probably not going to turn anytime soon. And folks that are in the gig economy that are more personal services, like let's say Uber or Lyft drivers, that's where you might see some real hurt. In terms of households that were using that as either main income or supplemental.
Now, some health authorities have been theorizing that perhaps if they are able to slow the rise of this thing and beat it back, that it lasts until the autumn, and then it may come roaring back with a second wave as the weather deteriorates. What's the long-term impact if this thing drags out for much of the year?
Until we turn the first corner here, it's still very hard to know, and a lot of dynamics that economists cannot provide a precise estimate around. But if we don't get something to happen later in the year toward a vaccine, a lot of companies and a lot of people are going to expect a second round, and that might slow down a lot of the economy going into the fall without actually having an active issue.
What happens if negative news continues and there's really no let up, and yet the Federal Reserve used all of its ammunition before the barbarians were at the gates?
Agreed. This is one of the big, most baffling things as a macroeconomist, is why the Fed has been this swift to push us all the way back down to the so-called zero lower bound. So when I saw the first rate cut at 50 basis points or half a percent, I actually was a little head scratching about that and saying, well, maybe that's a little quick. But okay, so now we're down 50 basis points. When they went all the way down to zero, I was like, whoa, that doesn't give you any room to wiggle later if you need it. But there's a lot of debate about whether or not monetary policy in general can really help a situation like this versus fiscal. And that's kind of the grand debate that's going to take place over the next 6 or 8 months, given that we've done about as much monetary policy as we can, though there's a couple of other triggers the Fed could use. And now we're looking at fiscal stimulus. So the two together historically have helped stave off deep, long problems. But because there's so much uncertainty still to play out here, it's really hard to know whether the two in conjunction are going to work. Phase two will kick in November and December as we're watching very closely what happens internationally with respect to either a vaccine or a potential second round.
Dr. Eiler, I want to thank you so much.
You bet, Mark. Anytime.
That was Dr. Robert Eiler, professor of economics at Sonoma State University. And that's our program for Tuesday, March 17th. For more information about anything you heard, visit our website, mynspr.org. There you can ask us anything you want to know about the novel coronavirus. And don't forget to let us know what you're doing to be proactive for yourself and your community. Tonight's special coverage was produced by Mark Albert, Ken Duvall, Christian Solis, and Phil Wilkie. Our engineer is Matt Fidler. Special thanks to Jesse Mercer. Thanks for being with us. I'm Sarah Bohannon, and this is special coverage on the coronavirus pandemic for North State Public Radio. We'll be back tomorrow evening at 6:30. See you then.